broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for February the 27th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is Hour 2 at 2, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Kirk's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Kurt wants to tell us about a conservative answer to the Facebook launches, huh, Kurt?
Yeah. Now, Sam, this is, of course, another piece from WorldNet Daily. And they say, describing themselves as the answer to Facebook and Twitter censoring Christians, conservatives, and liberty, a new social media platform called USA.life will officially launch, looks like today. Founder and CEO Stephen Andrews said he decided to use his Silicon Valley tech leadership experience to launch the project after he saw Facebook block millions of people from getting his posts. He believes Facebook lied to Congress about being a platform for all ideas, since they restrict President Trump supporters, Christians, and conservatives. Man, it sounds like you have a point. Facebook, he says, blocks 99% of my reach, which means 5 million people are missing per month from my account alone. Andrew has led multi-million-dollar initiatives for Cisco, Better Homes and Gardens, SEGA, S-E-G-A, and Stanford. USA.life is necessary, he said, because censorship affects elections, people's lives, and relationships. Users can, I guess it's all about freedom, though, Sam, huh? Users, he says, or the article says, can share photos, updates, news, videos, and messages, and join groups. People can connect with those most important to them, too, he said. Andrew set up a crowdfunding page to launch the project, saying USA.life is for all who love America. We don't have the billions of dollars Facebook, Google, and Twitter have, he says, so we need people who want freedom and privacy to contribute what they can. Financial supporters receive a special reward depending on how much they give, such as their name credited in the computer code with a keepsake PDF to print, and other perks for larger donations. Individuals and organizations, he said, or the article says, can get their name on the founder's wall. Andrew is also building a search engine. It's called 1776free.com. He calls it America's new search engine. He believes it'll provide better results than Google. Users will get President Trump, conservative, and Christian real news that Google hides, he says. So the USA Today, or excuse me, USA.life and 1776free.com are needed to protect the free speech assured by the First Amendment. And Andrew said, we will unite the nation. Cool.
Wow.
There you go, Sam. Any comment?
Well, I would say this, Kurt. I hope we have answers.
It's a tall order.
It's a tall order, and I pray that there are answers. I believe, though, part of the problem is when the government literally creates and funds and kind of regulates and all this kind of stuff, I hope it's possible in modern day to create alternatives. But I really question the ability to get it done, Kurt.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm saying I'm hoping and praying for those solutions. I've been one of the guys to say we got to have our own startups, our own institutions, do our own thing for a long time. I've been saying that for 20 years.
Yep, good point.
Plus, and I'm telling you that is the answer. And so I pray for success is all I can say about it. However, I have my doubts that it's possible, not because it's not possible to do, Kurt. It's kind of like the wind and solar example. I love wind and solar and think it could be incredible. But not when you have government subsidization and regulation to the point to shut out all the good guys.
Good point.
I mean, I look at our buddy, Mr. Zeldin Nelson or whatever, and I just look at the time he's had, and I just think, man, No wonder no one could innovate and bring something new to the table, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they've just Neldon Johnson. Zeldin Nelson's another constitutional buddy. Sorry about that. Right. Good point.
In the radio world, too.
Yes.
You know, both of them, you know.
But anyway, I bring this up, though, because, look, I pray for Mr. Johnson. I mean, I think he's doing a tremendous work, but I have my doubts that he'll ever get it off the ground.
Yeah, not because there's not opposition.
There's not because there's not technology and intelligence there. There is. I believe there is, Kurt. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, it's just so hostile.
Yeah.
Okay, now if they were to, you know, create something that would get the government rich, or, you know, I mean, the government funds all kinds of solar companies that fail, and they, you know, it's just amazing. And the good guys can just fail, and be right back in business. And, hey, there's no regulations to shut them down, you know. But the good guy that actually wants to do so, hey, he just can't even bring the new technology forward. They're like, hey, this doesn't work. And then he's like, well, we just proved in court it worked. And they're like, yeah, but what? Well, there's 56,000 other regulations we're going to shut you down with. That's what. Okay, I mean, it's just hostile. Okay, well, anyway, I come back to this example, too, and I just say, can you really launch an alternative to Facebook? I pray so.
Yeah.
If I have anything to do with it, the answer will be yes, for sure. But I honestly have my doubts, though. Mm-hmm. And I know that's sad to say, and I don't mean to be negative on it, but I do mean to highlight the core of the problem, which is fake money combined with government subsidization for the favorite at the expense of the rest, combined with out-of-control regulations. You put that together, and it's a tri-pronged recipe for disaster for freedom-loving Americans, Kurt. And for those who would want to create a true solution. So anyway, my answer, prayers, in hopes that they're successful. Christina Rasmussen's in the news, Kurt. This kind of highlights my point.
Yeah. Now, let's see. So she, you know, in this
I don't know much about her. First off, who is she? Is she an author?
Yeah, she's a vice president of Federal Affairs for the Foundation of Government Accountability.
Whoa.
One other thing that I've never heard of, but anyway.
Yeah, I want government accountability, though. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, they say it's short as FGA. And she said the government needs to do more to crack down on food stamp fraud because many of the benefits are going to those willing to abuse the system.
Hmm. Hey, Christina.
Yeah, shocking. Yeah.
I got an idea. Mm-hmm. Shut down food stamps and there'll be no fraudsters.
Imagine that, Sam. They don't seem to have a spot in this article for that.
Because I got a question. To steal my money to fund the food stamp program, isn't that the abuse of the system right there, Kurt? Before we even abuse the system?
That's another system.
It's like double jeopardy abuse going on.
Yeah.
Who can abuse me worse, the criminals on food stamps that are taking advantage of the system, or the criminals that created it in the first place that want to steal my money for some, what's the word they have? For some
redistribution.
Yeah, but it's like for the children. What do they call that? It's a something purpose. It's a benevolent is the word I'm looking for. Purpose.
Yeah,
right, Kurt? In their benevolence, they're going to just abuse me, steal my money, and then they're going to complain because their abuse is getting abused.
Now, this is what she had to say about it. She said, it's really disturbing. Taxpayers work really hard.
It is disturbing.
Yeah. Taxpayers work really hard to earn their money, and the government takes a good portion of it. I don't know if you call it a good portion. But anyway, and some of that money goes, or she says some of that money does go into a social safety net that's supposed to be there for people who really need our help.
Define supposed
Rasmussen,
to.
Yeah.
Because I believe there is a safety net by Christians that is there by voluntary means and thereby a commitment to a covenant to bear one another's burdens and stuff. I believe in that, Kurt. Just not the forced government benevolent one.
Yeah, you're just not for forced charity. You know, Rasmussen, I guess in the interview she referenced a January 2019, well, that's not that far ago, Government Accountability Office, GAO, report, which found that at least $1 billion in food stamp benefits had been trafficked each year in the U.S. But she mentioned that the amount of fraud in this country could be a lot higher than that. Mm-hmm. Food stamp criminals, she called them, can be a creative bunch, and they are always coming up with new schemes once the authorities catch on to one. But generally speaking, there are two big buckets of fraud. It's it's people who are getting access to the program who shouldn't be getting access, or folks who are accessing the program who really aren't eligible. Isn't it the same thing?
Well,
but anyway.
Yeah. Now, the other thing, Kurt, is this, though. What about the folks that created the program that steal my money? What about that bucket of fraud?
Yeah, that's a bigger bucket, but she's not talking about
that. It's the biggest of them all. And what about the bucket of fraud that says we wouldn't even be having this if we were on an honest money system? There wouldn't be money to go around for this fraud to exist. We wouldn't have billions of dollars in unaccountability, would we?
Yeah, and then she says food stamps are supposed to be used for food and grocery items. You can't take your food stamp card to the store and turn it in for cash, but in too many instances, that is happening. Or the card itself will be sold on the black market.
Say, what do you mean then it can't be done? They're doing it. What do you mean it can't be if they're doing it, Kurt? It can be, and it is, and it does.
Then she said, someone gets 100 worth of food stamp benefits, and someone gets $50 back. Hey, that's what I call the free enterprise system, baby. But anyway, she goes on, the program has really gone beyond its original intent, and we need to do a lot more when it comes to policing the program, but also be very careful about expanding it, just because we know we have problems with the program we have, she added.
Mm-hmm. No discussion of shutting her down, no, huh, Kurt? Not a single word about that alternative.
Good point, Sam.
Or solution, I might add. All right, Sam and Kurt in seconds, Liberty Roundtable Live. We're going to talk about Judge Roy Moore. There's a big old bunch of articles. What, fraud on the people? In more ways than one? Hold on.
So, you love talk radio. Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Ladies and gentlemen, the spirit of party has undermined our election process. It's not the Russians or foreign entities that's the problem. It's Democrats posing as conservatives. It's socialists pretending they're not Nazis. Yeah, it's all kinds of stuff going on. From food stamp fraud to a conspiracy to commit fraud on the American people via the elections and disinformation campaigns, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam, and what you've got here is occasionally...
By the way, isn't that comical, the socialists are against the Nazis?
Yeah, well...
Isn't the Nazis the National Party of Socialism or whatever?
National Socialists is what it stands
for. Yeah, but the socialists are against them, don't you know? The Nazis are bad.
Well, it's always good to have two bad guys fighting there, and you got to pick one of them.
Yeah, it's like the same guy, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, conspiracy to commit fraud on the American people is going on, Kurt.
Well, and that's right. And, occasionally I'll send a few bucks to George Roy Moore, and his group, basically, to continue his battle. We've been fans of him for quite a long time. We met him in person in Nevada, and he's done great work and continues that great work. He's, if you're not familiar with him, he was the one that was just barely beat in the battle for the Senate there in Alabama, last year or the year before, I think it was. I'm not sure. It just goes, time goes by so fast. But,
well, and they always have the elections right at the end of the year, so it's hard to know what it applies to, too, right?
Yeah, there
like
you go.
They're elected in 1 year, and then they get take office in the next beginning of the next year, kind of stuff, or whatever. It's a little confusing on how that works.
And now he says in an email that basically kind of sums up this whole thing. He says that recent revelations by the New York Times, the Daily Caller, and even the most liberal Washington Post have identified the false flag disinformation campaigns that were used against Judge Roy Moore in his United States Senate race in 2017. Groups like New Knowledge that were run, they list a number of them. But the bottom line is these are funded by people who oppose Judge Roy Moore and all the things that he stood for. And that, in my opinion, made it so that his election was stolen. Now he commented.
Now let me stop you there. When the election was happening, we told you there was fraud going on.
Yeah, we did.
And right after it happened, we told you this is fraudulent. They stole the election from Roy Moore, and everybody mocked us and said these are a bunch of whacked out conspiracy nuts.
Yeah.
And now even the New York Times admits to conspiracy fact, huh, Kurt?
Yeah, but the bottom line is, Sam, no, there's nobody paying for that. Nobody, they don't say, oh, that election's null and void, we're going to do it again, or anything like that. They just
go and
on.
See, the Republicans aren't even standing with Roy Moore, as far as I can tell, though. I don't see a single peep from hardly any of them.
Most of them don't want to touch, that with a 10-foot pole, just like they don't want to protect babies.
Hey, man, what was that chick's name that was attacking Roy Moore, the lead lady, if you will? Where's her testimony? Where's her evidence? Where's her?
She's just gone.
What was her name again?
Lee Korfman.
Yeah, Lee Korfman. Yeah. Where is she? What's up with her? She can't be gone.
Well, yeah, but see, the latest thing on that is there's, ongoing lawsuits, in that speedy trial system that we have.
Me and Roy will be dead before they get to the bottom of that sucker.
That's right. She wants Roy to tell specifics about where he lived and stuff like that. And Roy Moore says the reason she wants that is so that then she can use that in her testimony to prove that she... to make it look like she knows more about it than she really does. And so he doesn't want to give her that info. Anyway, this is what Roy Moore said in an interview in January, just last month. He said, American politics, and perhaps by extension America itself, has tumbled into chaos. It's not because of this policy or that one, but rather because America's foundation of free and fair elections has been undermined. He says, just as predicted of Washington, described by Judge Moore, the spirit of party has undermined our election process. It is not the Russians or any foreign entity posing as Americans which threaten our Republicans. He says, our republic, it's Democrats posing as conservatives. And I think it's even more than that, but I found it interesting in his piece.
Yeah, the reason we say it's more than that is that, again, that kind of falls into the spirit of party a little bit in blaming the Democrats. Look, it's the swamp monsters, folks.
And I like this part where they explain, this is from an article from what's called the Epoch Times, EPOCH, and it says, if the left is accusing the right of something, you can be sure those charges are things the left themselves are either doing now or have done in the past. We see this
or intend to do going forward.
Yeah, that's right. Good. We see this in elections where Democrats accuse Republicans of voter suppression, collusion with Russians, and efforts to disenfranchise American voters. It's all a sinister game. Again and again, the evidence suggests the Democrats are using rhetoric and accusations to distract from the shenanigans they are pulling.
Yeah, and again, I don't like this focus on the Democrats. It's a good point, but so are the Republicans, though. Look,
yeah,
Paul Ryan and Donald Trump went against Roy Moore as much as everybody else.
Well, Paul Ryan and McConnell as
well. And McConnell, too, sure. You know, but I'm saying there wasn't a massive defense of the Republicans of Roy Moore and the election system.
Out of Trump, Ryan, and McConnell, I'd say Trump supported him the most. But
yes, sure.
He falls into the whole deal of... you know, like so many have, and the whole deal of, hey, you know, you that guy, you know, he defends the Ten Commandments, he stands up for babies, you know, all that stuff. Oh, you gotta, you know, not touch him, you know. Yet that's why the left or the, you know, evil side basically fought against him so hard. I believe.
I agree. He also points clearly to God.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, this is.
You know,
this is not some guy that just barely touches those things.
Yeah, know? That's right. Now, he puts his whole career on the line over it. And I might add this, Kurt. I supported Roy Moore better than all those guys you speak of.
Good point.
And so did you. And that's kind of the reason that we bring this up is that, hey, they said we were a bunch of nuts, conspiracy theorists, that we didn't have a leg to stand on, no truth to what we said. And now there's a conspiracy to commit fraud on the American people. And it's conspiracy fact as recent revelations by the New York Times, that's as liberal as it gets, the Daily Caller, and even the most liberal Washington Post have identified the false flag disinformation campaign against Judge Roy Moore in his United States Senate race in 2017. All I can tell you is, if that doesn't say it, I don't know what does, Kurt, but we are first to this discussion.
That's right, but most people are going to be unaware of that, Sam.
No, sadly,
not
but true.
Follow that and get that stuff.
But if Donald came on Liberty Roundtable Live and Roy Moore and everybody else, then we could change that game in a heartbeat.
Good point. Yeah, and right at the end of the email, he says, this was not only an attack on Judge Moore, it was an attack on conservatives across the country who believe his message. Moore continued in his interview with Paul
Even
Gattis.
It was an attack on the system, too, let's be clear.
Yeah, that's right. If you put out bad information that's intended to alter the election, that's bad for people. It's not my concern or sour grapes, this is Judge Roy Moore saying this, about the election. It's over and what's done is done, but I want to see this disinformation stuff stopped. Now, to me, Sam, Judge Roy Moore is agreeing with you when you say, he who owns the media makes the rules.
Yes, he is, and he's spot on that. And that's the point is, where is the accountability for the New York Times and the WAPO and for all these other rags that peddled this, what do you call it, dishonest porn against Roy Moore?
Well, and that's where,
I mean, they,
you know,
literally talked about
these libel
sexual
things.
Details and all this stuff to just make it as off the charts extreme as we can, to where it's like, oh, to think about Roy Moore just makes me sick. The poor women. Okay, and they did the same thing to Kavanaugh as they did to Roy Moore, identical. Yeah. And I don't know the truth on whatever happened with these different people and things like that. Okay, I don't know Kavanaugh, for example.
Right.
But I believe I do know Roy Moore. And I believe it's absolute, complete bogus with regards to Roy Moore. I don't believe it happened. And if it did, let's have Lee Korfman or whatever her name is, let's have her double down and testify and prove it. But again, we're not going to take this to the finish line in terms of either, you know what, make your claims and make them a stick and or it's time to go home, disgraced. And what I mean is, how come we're not going to bring this to the fruition? It's the same thing with Bill Clinton and his rapes, for example. How come we're not going to double down and find out, look, what about the Me Too movement with these girls? And are we going to get to the bottom of their claims? Either their claims are legitimate and we need to, you know, double down in defense of these women? The Me Too movement should come and bear fruit for them, too. Or we need to come back and prove it to be bogus and stop it. But what we do is we bring it to the pinnacle and manipulate public opinion, commit vote fraud, and then we let it just disappear. No harm,
That's
no foul is the lie.
The damage is done.
All right, quick pause. Let's see, what do we want to talk about next? Let's see. Why don't we talk about farms? Let's talk about the farmers. We'll do it. Sam and Kurt in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live. Dairy cows. Kurt knows a little bit about it. He's our dairy cow resident expert.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Yeah. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un are dining together in Hanoi, Vietnam, the beginning of a second summit between the two leaders. The summit beginning with President Trump and the North Korean leader shaking hands and exchanging pleasantries and then speaking briefly to reporters. President Trump says,
"And a lot of things are going to be solved, I hope, and I think it'll lead to really a wonderful situation long term. And our relationship is a very special relationship."
The serious talks between the two leaders scheduled to start tomorrow. President Trump is blasting his longtime personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, who's currently on Capitol Hill, to give public testimony to a House committee about what he knew about possibly illegal activities involving the Trump campaign team. The president tweets that Cohen is trying to reduce his prison time by lying. This is USA Radio News.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
The first two major gun control bills to be considered by the U.S. House in a quarter century are up for a vote today. They would strengthen background checks for gun buys. They're expected to clear the House, but the Senate probably will not even consider them. Top executives from seven big pharmaceutical companies told a Senate committee yesterday that the causes of high drug prices are numerous and that it would take all the top companies and government regulators working together for a very long time to figure out how to lower them. Well, Oregon Democratic Senator Ron Wyden accused the execs of stonewalling when it came to the major issue,
which is actually lowering list prices. And reducing those list prices are the easiest way for American consumers to pay less at the pharmacy counter.
CEO of Merck, Kenneth Frazier, did concede the poor end up paying the most because they pay full list price, while many other people benefit from rebates. And this is USA Radio News.
All right, Kurt, there's a massive farm story in USA Today. I've held on to it for a couple of weeks because it's long, and it'll take us a while to break this down. I agree with their headline, but I don't agree with their reasonings or their circumstances or the discussion points, and that's why we bring this up. Oftentimes, it's the stories they won't talk about at all. Oftentimes, it's that we talk about stories in a different way than they will. We have different focus points or different issues, right? And ours is always the free market. Ours is always the Constitution. Ours is always the moral high ground, et cetera, et cetera. Headline says dairy farmers are in crisis. USA Today. And they have a big, long article. And let me just give you some highlights from it, then we'll have you kind of break it down, Kurt. They say there was a time when the soft glow of barn lights dotted the Wisconsin rural landscape, like stars in the constellation. Yeah, it was families working together, feeding cows, finishing chores, and more. Hundreds of those barns are dark now. The cow's gone. The hum of milking machines silenced. All of our neighbors are done, said Sue Spalding, a dairy farmer near, Rochelle Lake in Washburn County. She and her husband, Chuck, soldier on, milking about 60 cows in their 300-acre farm that Chuck bought when he was only 17 years old. 7 years ago, the Spaldings borrowed heavily to modernize their barn and position things for the future. It looked good on paper, Sue said, but in late 2014, farm milk prices plummeted. The downturn, quote, fueled by overproduction and failing export markets have lasted more than 4 years. and has wiped out dairy farms from Maine to California. The price farmers receive for their milk has fallen nearly 40%. This downward cycle, they claim, has been brutal, said Kevin Schosso. He's with the University of Wisconsin's Extension Agent in Washburn County. Wisconsin lost almost 700 dairy farms in 2018 alone. Believe it or not, that's an unprecedented rate of nearly two a day. Most were small operations simply unable to survive the farm milk price downturn. That, adjusted for inflation, were among the lowest in half a century. Remaining dairy farmers have burned through their, quote, farm equity and credit to remain in business. Often at least one family member works an off-farm job to put groceries on the table or to pay for health insurance. Some are in working double shifts. They say it's exhausting, but it's a cherished way of life. Anyway, it goes on and on and on. It's a massive discussion. They say we have managed, but it's hard to even pay our everyday bills. They say although consumption of butter, milk, yogurt, butter, well, it's increased. But then they go on and talk about Mexican and Canadian products. They talk about government stockpiles of products. They go on and on and on and on and on. It's a big, massive article. Do you want to take a stab at this thing, Kurt? And then I got a few points to make.
Yeah. You know, at least this is another one of those areas where, Sam, the government's got into it to help protect folks. You know, they said that they did it, you know, years ago because, well, milk is perishable, you know. I mean, so then you have to have some way to protect the farmer because, I mean, he could lose money. And then you got to have some way to, you know, help the people because they need a drink of milk. I mean, you know, so why not have the big government come in and fix it all? And all I can tell you is the more they fix it, wow, the more it's messed up. Now, you know, like most things in America that were small years ago, they've continued to get bigger and bigger and more kind of corporate farming, and that's what you see typically in these, you know, story about, or this story talking about this 60-cow person. I mean, you've got places now that I'm aware of where they've got 7,000 cows on a particular farm. And so that you just, and I'm not against that, I'm simply saying that it makes it very difficult for a place like a 60-cow operator to compete, especially when, you know, say the producer or the haulers and stuff are going to have to charge extra to go by and pick up their milk compared to being able to pick up a whole truckload of milk. They got to pick up some little amount from some little guy like that. But what you are seeing that this story doesn't talk about is the success cases of people with a small group of cows or even just, you know, one or two cows, that kind of thing, is that a lot of people are going and saying, look, I just want my milk right from the farmer. I don't want, you know, a whole bunch of people in between it. And they're willing to pay, well, I'd say top dollar or at least a lot more than
I would say a fair price.
Store. Yeah.
See, I don't think it's top dollar. I think it's manipulated bottom dollar. And I think it's a fair price. Now, I know what you're saying, because in the scheme of things, it looks like that. But I want to be very clear that I don't believe it's top dollar, Kurt.
Well, you know, what you get in the store, you know, the government is protecting y'all to make sure that, you know, in the store you have, you know, this homogenized milk and everything else. Well, you know, people want fresh things. In many cases, they want fresh, local things that are made, you know, the way they kind of used to make them, you know, without all the chemicals and without all the pasteurization. So, you know, there are instances where people pay $5, $6, $7, $8 a gallon for, you know, raw milk.
Yeah, but let's stop there for a minute, though, and say this. How much, if you turn that into what, 1% milk or low-fat milk or whatever most people buy today, okay, what? How many gallons of milk could you make with that?
Well, see, that's a great point. And then can you really make it raw again.
No, of course not.
You can't.
That's another
because
discussion.
They cook it. But yeah, the average farmer is going to produce about 4% butterfat milk. So you could literally take that and add
that
3 gallons of water.
Right.
Yeah, take that 1 gallon and add 3 gallons of water, and you'd have 4 gallons of 1%.
So let me stop you there for a second now, mm-hmm. and say if I bought a gallon of milk for $6, even $8,
yeah.
fine, whatever number you want to use, this top dollar number that I don't believe is top dollar, by the way.
Yeah.
I think it's actually fair to the farmer.
Right.
Okay, so it's...
Well, that's a deal between you and the farmer.
That's right. I mean, that's why it's fair.
Yeah.
The more we get these middlemen and these manipulators out of the mix, the better it'll be. Anyway, you take that and you do the 3 to 1 gallon, and you got 4 gallons, and how much is it a gallon, Kurt? $1.50 to $2?
Oh, yeah.
How much does it cost in the store? More than that?
Oh, yeah.
See what I mean? So we're being played with here is the point, Kurt.
And then the other one other point to point out, you know, Sam, you'll see, you know, they're talking about a 40% drop in their price. But yet if you go to the store, you won't see that. You'll see typically the store will go way up and then it won't really follow the down part. Because hey, there's profits to be made. There are profits to be made there, and so then the store will typically keep its price way high. And then when it comes to the whole government involvement, you know, where you have free cheese from the government, free butter, and all that kind of stuff, because somehow there's some program that they buy it up if it's excess, and it's just a screwed up system. But what government program that tries to fix things doesn't screw it up, see?
Yeah, and I would say this. Part of the problem is two ideas. This idea that we need to export milk.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a question. So they say part of the big problem, Kurt, is export markets are way down, and, man, trade tariffs are just brutalizing the farmer. Donald, you know. Okay, here's my question. Why do we got to export milk in the first place? Milk should be fresh and consumable now. I don't know that exporting milk makes any sense, does it?
Well, I mean, it's like exporting oil. If we grow it, you know, and have it here, if you pay to process it and ship it some faraway land, it doesn't make sense if they could just do their own, right?
Well, right.
You know, just
and
like
so
we can do ours.
I'm for milk being right here in your local communities, and I'm not for shipping it anywhere, and I'm not for this long-term storage because you can't even take, I'm going to use the word live for a second. You can't take live milk and ship it all around the world and have it be good, can you, Kurt?
Not that I'm aware of.
You got to kill it first. What I mean is you got to cook it so hot that all the nutrients are gone, and then you got to put it in these bottles or, you know, whatever, and store it and keep it cold. And do, how much of an environmental beating is that to get that all done and even do in the first place? It doesn't make any sense. So this idea that the farmers need to export a ton is false. Okay? They say the downturn fueled by overproduction. Now, how do we have overproduction, Kurt? This is where the manipulation just goes on and on and on and on. It's so complicated. But where do we get this overproduction? And the answer is we feed drugs to the cows, right?
Well, that's
cows
what
don't,
they did.
By God, make enough milk. There now, you got to.
Yeah.
We'll have Kurt break that down. It's important to understand this, folks. We got a lot more on this story. That's why I saved it, because we need time to break some of these stories down. They're so complex, and we've got so much good information to bring to the table of what the problems are. And every problem we point out, there is a solution. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. There ain't no talk show like it.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Kurt, so they talk about this massive overproduction of milk, and that's part of the problem they claim, buddy. And I want to know, how do we get this massive overproduction of milk in the first place, sir?
Well, at least in my opinion, one of the main ways is you have a government basically setting the price of it. If you take government out of the milk world, basically, you'll have some farmers who agree that it's important to have government there because, say, you know, the price could go too low. They never get too worried about if it's too high.
But I don't see how the price could get too low, personally.
Well, that's the whole point. In a normal supply and demand thing, the market takes care of that, Sam. I mean, imagine if the government got out of that area.
Yeah, now the reason I think there's overproduction is we've got some modern technology and automation, number one, where people don't have to work, right? And machines do it all, and machines can work 24/7. And you can basically take this technology and this automation, and then you can take these drugs and mix it all together, and you create this massive farms that produce way too much stuff, unnecessarily, more than the demand.
And you're bringing up, there was a thing that Monsanto made years ago, and it was called BST. And basically it was a hormone that the farmers could inject in their cows, usually about 2 weeks, every 2 weeks or so. And it would make the cow produce more milk than she would normally produce. And, you know, the dairy world had worked really hard at being the milk, it does a body good. And, you know, they had the reputation of all this good stuff.
And by the way, it was tremendous when they did that. Just so you know.
And
it was tremendous.
And they let that all just basically go to pot when they allowed this whole giving them shots to produce more milk thing get a hold. It just lost them their market, at least.
Yeah, because you can't run around and say Monsanto toxic chemicals does a body good. That just doesn't work.
No. So then you have the rise of all the soy milks, the almond milks, the, I don't know, rice milk. I think you can go on down the
list. They're even working on cockroach milk, buddy.
Yeah, like cucaracha. Boy, that ought to be good. But anyway, so you've got all those besides ruining milk itself. And one of the reasons we bring up the whole milk thing is in the Bible, it actually talks about the land of milk and honey.
Ooh,
and,
wow.
You know, you kind of think maybe there's something there when it comes to that. But anyway, that's... You know, kind of
just imagine if Kurt could sell milk on the street corner. He'd have the farmer bring it to him like 10 times a day, and he could keep it cold and get, you know, dispense milk. Man, you'd have to have people sign a contract and stuff to even drink it.
That's right.
I mean, it's crazy.
Have to be part owners of the cow, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just wow. All right, so here's the other problem. You got this fake money in our system. So 7 years ago, the Spalding family borrowed heavily to modernize their barn.
Yeah. Good point.
The downturn fueled by overproduction. Now, did everybody just quit drinking milk, Kurt? How did that overproduction happen?
Well, that was part of this stuff that we talked about.
So, see, I think that the farmers would naturally say, hey, you know what? guys, we're going to take a day off right now. We work so hard. We're going to, now I know we got to milk the cows, but, you know, we're going to maybe dump out some milk.
Yeah.
Maybe we're going to not push our cows so hard. Maybe we're going to milk the minimum amounts and you know, and maybe we'll, you know, and there's a lot of ways to go about it. But then you got this, the big guy they go to is this government university extension office guy for all the answers. Then he says that adjusted for inflation. Wow. So now you got inflation beating up the farmers, right? So the closer you are to agriculture.
Everybody.
Well, of course, but I'm just saying the farmers feel it first. The closer you are to the ground, the closer you are to the earth, the closer you are to clear free markets, the more you feel it, right? They can, in other industries, they can kind of mute the effects of it more. They say, although consumption of cheese, butter, yogurt, milk have all increased, it hasn't kept pace with the runaway production. What does runaway production mean? It means the government buys up a ton of this stuff, stores a ton of it, and then they believe there's more of a market than there really is, Kurt. Now they say, what about Mexican and Canadian products? Those countries are refusing to ratify government agreements. Now they say then on top of that, these Wisconsin farmers are getting a big bunch of money in Donald Trump's farm bailout program. It was designed to help producers of milk, pork, soybeans, corn, and other commodities to deal with it when the trade battles create a tumble. Wait a minute, man. Why are we... Okay, the answer is, why are we doing all this? We don't need Donald in trading when we don't export these things. Why do we need to export these things? Why don't we export cows? Why don't we raise cows and sell them to the communist Chinese, and then they can, like, have a cow farm, and they can create their own milk and cheese and butter, and then we don't need to import or export nothing.
We do. The only problem is they put a huge old tariff on it, and so it makes it pretty tough to...
Just won't have any cows, they won't have any milk, and they won't have any meat, and pretty soon they'll change their mind.
Exactly.
So. Or else they can go ahead and take care of it internally, you'd be my guess.
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at is, where's the environmentalist? By the time I have these big milk tanks, and by the time I heat up the milk and destroy all the nutrients, so I can't deliver live milk is what I would call it. By the time I water that sucker down, and then by the time I put all the middlemen in there, and by the time I transport this milk so that you could take a gallon of milk created in Utah and sell it in communist China, and it, where's all the environmentalists? How much gas and fuel and transfer costs and refrigeration? And I mean, I go on and on and on. Does it take to get all that? Where's the environmentalist? Where's Ocasio Cortez, Kurt? And I look at it and say, look, farmers need to realize that their stuff should be sold local and fresh. And if there's too much demand, they ought to produce more. And if there's not enough demand, Kurt, then they need to do several things. One, produce less. Two, maybe market it like milk does a body good. That was a great campaign, by the way. And I believe that live milk does do a body good. But when you destroy the milk and put all kinds of toxic chemicals in there, I almost want to drink Mountain Dew instead. Not that it's any better.
Good point.
But it's hard to... Okay, and so I submit to you that this crisis is created by government, created by dishonest money, created by this idea that we're going to import and export, and that's the future. Farmers are deceived into believing this, so they borrow money to modernize their farms and produce too much. Okay, what if the farmer said, I don't have the money for all that automation? Then people would go, well, you're just an idiot. Right? I mean, don't you understand that I got an MBA? I can teach you how to do this. At some point, why don't we back off and say, let's let the free market work, and let's sell local. And let's let the farmer be in charge of their own destiny without government manipulation. And let's let the farmer decide what he wants to sell his product for. And if he feels like the prices are going too low, he just might dump out 1,000 gallons of milk on the ground and say, hey, I don't have enough milk now, guys. The prices are going up.
Well, he could use it for fertilizer for his fields. See?
Okay. Or he could feed it to other animals, right?
The hogs or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So all I'm telling you is there's plenty of options. I even am for the idea that you turn some of it into powdered milk, Kurt, and you have it for a crisis.
Yeah, imagine that.
You know, there's a lot of ways to solve it, right? What about the dairy farmers marketing to the philanthropists and saying, hey, you can provide in the private sector, you can create a Milk Does a Body Good campaign, and you can give milk to the children for free at your own charitable expense, and here's how we're going to do it. And they would use a GoFundMe to say, hey, you know what, prices of milk are down and I got too much milk and I don't want to pour it out on the ground. I want to give it to the children. Who will help fund the farm so I can give it to the children? Buddy, I'd chip into that free market charitable opportunity via GoFundMe. There's so many options and ideas, it's beyond imagination. But I'm telling you, we need less regulation, less government involvement, less exporting and importing of these things. We need food delivered raw and fresh, and we need to balance supply and demand, not by government edict or mandate or government storage of mass, not by import-export manipulations, but by the farmer working with the people to do it. And hey, they don't need to borrow a gazillion dollars and go into debt only to have the price plummet because of Donald's debating in the export world or whatever you want to say, to where, okay, we're putting these farmers intentionally at risk, and it's got to stop. And there's ways to be profitable and successful, but I'm telling you, it starts with honest money. It starts with less regulation, it starts with a free market, and it starts with getting government out of it and let the farmers deal directly with the people. That's the way it was intended. And I'm telling you, until we get back to that, it'll never get better, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. You know, yesterday was the first day that right next to me on the corner, you know, where I sell honey, you know, a place pulled in, they call themselves the Jurassic Tacos, Jurassic's Tacos or something like that, and their sign on their vehicle says local, you know, and basically, you know, that's what more and more people are wanting. They want to support local, and they want some local food. They don't really want, you know, from far, far away, and so there's kind of a cool movement that way, and
it's a start, and I want more of it.
Learn about it, yeah.
Anyway, our prayers are with the farmer, but I'm telling you, that's where a lot of the problems are. And we got to work on it. All right, Venezuelans are in the news, and they're concerned about their guns, huh, Kurt?
Yeah, they regret giving up their guns. And this is, you know, I mean, it's not a surprise, but this is what Javier Villegas, he's 28, a Venezuelan teacher of English down there. He's now exiled in Ecuador. He says this in an interview with Fox News. He said, guns would have served as a vital pillar to remaining a free people, or at least able to put up a fight.
Boy, howdy, is that the truth?
Yeah.
I hope we learn that lesson before it's too late.
Good point, Sam.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I was just seeing a headline from Breitbart. Democrat Andrew Cuomo signs gun confiscation into law in New York.
Well, so your point is that you can flee the state, Kurt, and that's what people need to do in droves.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is a psychotic.
I'll send you that one, by the way.
I mean, it's just crazy talk. Yeah, send me that, and we'll cover it in more detail tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're running out of time now, but I just, man, there's so much news to cover.
Yep.
I just got a bunch of stories from Kurt. I got a story from the American Family Association. Walmart launches huge gay day video ad. And they're just, everybody's off the rails, man.
Mm-hmm.
Except we're going to stand solid as a rock and promote God, family, and country and protect life, liberty, and property and defend free markets and stand for
Here's
liberty.
Here's one for you.
Defend the cause of Christians. I'm just telling you right now, we got it going on, folks.
Maryville man faces felony charge for dipping testicles in salsa before delivery. Now, that makes them even hotter, that salsa, you know what I mean, Sam?
Man, now you want to make sure you know the person that's giving you the salsa for sure, don't you, Kurt?
That's right. You want to get local and know who it is.
I'm talking guacamole on this baby. Wait, can I say that, or am I just making fun of the Latinos?
Oh, yeah.
By the way, guacamole is some of my favorite
racist for
stuff,
sure.
Man. I like that.
Whoa.
Am I allowed to like that, or is that just my evil attempt to have token guacamole friends?
Ouch.
All right, all I'm telling you is this is just crazy stuff everywhere in the news, folks. But I'm telling you right now, we have a clarion call for God, family, and country, and a protection of life, liberty, and property, and defense of the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. And our goal, ladies and gentlemen, is to bring back the traditions of our founding fathers, to bring back a God worldview, to bring back an understanding that we follow the Prince of Peace, even Jesus Christ. All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. We're out of time. LibertyRoundtable.com, our website. Donate if you have the heart to help. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.